With pray, we'll get right into our lesson for today. Yes, Father, see you. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your presence in here, Father. Thank you for Every Christian Word Training Center. Thank you for our apostle that is the visionary for this school. Thank you for all the instructors who made their classes be enlightened, empowered, and graceful, and thought-provoking. And most of all, may your presence be with them. Father, thank you for the students that are here in Dow and those that are watching by internet, those are online students, Father. May we all reach the potential that you have designed and reach the destiny that you have pre-planned for us. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I get into tonight's lesson, I want to go ahead and give you what our exam will be on when we come back. The exam is going to be on chapters 7, 8, and 9. All right? So, of course, our exam is open book, as always, but it's going to come from chapters 7, 8, and 9 of the book, Alliance of Honorable Men. All right? So, it'll be chapters 7, 8, and 9, the book, Alliance of Honorable Men. And remember now, we don't take our exams to after the Christmas break. Matter of fact, we won't see each other for 3 weeks because the week we do come back is exam week. So we won't be here that week either. So that'll be exam week. But you have those 2 weeks to read and get. We went through 7 and 8. And we're going through 7 and 8. By the time I finish tonight, I'll be finished with 8. And the only one we will not have gone over is 9, which we will cover when I come back. But as always, my reason for giving you the little book exam is to force you to read so you'll be prepared that when we do discuss it, you won't be looking at me like a deer in headlights. Like, what is he talking about? All right. But last week we were in chapter 8 and we began to talk about the seven pivotal points for accurate connections. We went over the first two. Number one, they affirmed being a part of each other's life. And number two, their allegiance is to God-given leadership. So tonight we're going to finish the other five, and where we will endeavor to finish the other five tonight. All right? And so we're going to shoot for it. Just a brief review of last week. They're firm of being a part of each other's life. We begin to talk about how if we don't have the same passion, the same agenda, it's kind of hard to come in covenant with somebody that's not going in the same direction that you're going in. So affirming of being a part of each other's life is actually more so talking about affirming that you, for lack of a better word to put it, is that you buy into the agenda. You're willing to sacrifice for the agenda that the covenant has laid out, the rules of engagement. You're willing to be a part of that. Secondly, we went over last week that their allegiance, and this is important, given to God-given leadership. So that means what's more important, the thing that gets me the most time with Christians is that we want to hear from God, and we want God to speak to us. But it's like we want God to speak to us about the good things, but not the small things, or things that we see that seem to us unimportant. What I mean by that, we want God to give us words of knowledge, give us prophecy, give us the working of miracles. God, speak to me for these people. But then God speaks to a small thing and says, hey, I want you to connect to this person. I want you to do this for this person. I want you to do that. And we, because it's not, it doesn't, that's why we have to get rid of pride and ego. I'm big on that, get rid of pride and ego. Because it doesn't promote us, we have a tendency to overlook those things. Are you seeing this? And so God-given leadership, which means that God had to speak to you about the leadership you're deciding to connect to. If God hadn't spoken to you about that leadership, then you're going to have problems submitting.
You're going to have problems yielding. You're going to have problems coming into covenant with that leadership if God had not spoken to you. The reason why those gentlemen gathered themselves around David is because they recognized that God had appointed David. Are you seeing it? So that right there ought to give you some credence that you can hear from God. And that I'm able to recognize this is God-given leadership. So tonight we'll start on the appreciate the need for taking the relationship to the next level. Pivotal point for accurate connection and covenant. They appreciate the need for taking the relationship to the next level. Many people in the church do not know how to take a relationship to the next level. They want to stay casual. They want to stay casual with the relationship. In other words, they recognize God-given leadership, but they want to let the relationship stay on a mundane level instead of allowing God to let the relationship do what it was designed to do, which is iron sharpen iron. Iron got to hit iron to sharpen it. But if we allow ourselves to not take the relationship to the next level, in other words, okay, I know you. Oh, watch this. Taking the relationship to the next level means you do not become familiar with the person. You do not become so common with the person that you begin to take them for granted. Are you seeing this? See, they couldn't take David for granted. Even though David was a man, David was appointed by God, but they had to stay in a point of honor towards David so that David can still lead them where God had destined for them to go. Are you seeing this? People become familiar with the pastor and fail to become inspired by his or her ministry anymore. Are you seeing this? They naturalize the spiritual relationship and no longer honor it in the way of maturity and spirituality. They have lost the freshness and the excitement in the relationship. We must choose, this is key, we must choose to move from membership to friendship. Move from membership to friendship. And that's going to cost you something. Membership simply means I'm willing to join. Friendship says I'm willing to sacrifice for what I join. You see the difference? You see how I've gone from one level to another? One is I'm willing to join. But when I follow the rules of engagement, I'm not so sure if I'm willing to do all this. Well, then you're not ready to take the relationship to sunset. You're not ready to take the relationship to the next level because now you see the rules of engagement and you say, this ain't for me. Same thing with any relationship. The next level in relationship, if you date somebody, if you have to go to engagement. Then after you go to engagement, then you go to marriage. Sometimes you find out in the midst of that you already won't go to the next level. But my point is there is another level of sacrifice and commitment. You know, it's like I said all the time, if somebody's not willing to sacrifice something for you, it has to be sacrificed. If one's not willing to sacrifice for you, then that means they're not willing to take the relationship to the next level. So why are you trying to convince them to do so? Are you seeing this? We must choose to move from membership to sonship so that the new journey ahead is established on a new foundation of relationship and covenant. The casual level of friendship is insufficient for a life together towards destiny. So it can't be a casual level of friendship. It has to be more than that. It must be taken up to the next level of intense participation and partnership. Only then does the covenant relationship become the platform for a greater life together. Number four, they arose to meet every challenge of the future together. Talking about basically, remember who we're talking about. We're talking about David and those men that drawn themselves to them. These are the points that they had to go through in order to reach. See, you gotta realize, when they started with David, they was in the cave of Adullam. They was in debt, distress, and discontentment. But watch this. None of those three things stopped them from going further in the relationship with David. Debt didn't stop them. Distress. Because remember, they got run off from their home. Because Saul was trying to get everybody that was connected to David. And discontentment, being uncomfortable. Those three things were present when they decided to connect themselves to David. So you got to remember this now. You got to remember. So in doing all this, it wasn't the most comfortable situation for them. It wasn't the ideal situation. It wasn't the ideal surrounding. They found themselves in a cave, run off from their houses, run off from their home. But they found one, God-given leadership, and was able to connect to them. Are you seeing this? So watch this. They arose to meet every challenge of the future together. They arose to meet every challenge of the future together. First Chronicles of the 11th chapter. Look at verse 4. And David and all of Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Geba, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Geba said to David, thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. In other words, David, along with those guys that surrounded him, faced a challenge. And together, they conquered the town. They rose to the occasion. The pivotal point for accurate connection in covenant is seen when people rise to take on the challenges of the future together. Watch this. Many do not connect accurately as they are still struggling. This is key. They are still struggling with their own personal needs and are indulgent in their own pursuits. Go to Philippians, the second chapter. Remember I was talking to you about earlier in class, earlier in the year, how I begin to say you have to become God-centric and not self-centric? See, a lot of us came to God because we needed something, which is wonderful, which is okay, because God is appealing in that matter, in that He can do things for us that we can't do for ourselves. But once we come in contact with the love of God, the love of God that's been said about my house and my house by the Holy Ghost, that's only 5 and 5, then we should now become God-centered. Here's the thought. Okay, by myself, I can't handle this. By myself, I was in this situation. Before I met Christ, I had this foolishness going on. But then all of a sudden, I met Christ, I took him as my Savior, and things begin to turn around for me. I didn't have that hope, that despair. I now have hope. I'm not going through the same rough spots that I used to go through. Okay, now wait a minute. If that's the case, then what if I decide to throw my whole heart toward God? What if I decide to throw all of me toward God? Then if I throw all of me toward God, that means now God throws all of Himself toward me. Are you seeing this? So that means I have no lack, no situation I can't face. I can anything comes my way, I can face it. Are you seeing this? The reason why a lot of people can't connect properly in government, in covenant and in government, is because Satan is very keen about distraction. That's one of the most destructive. Distraction. Get you off of focus. See, the issues that we have in our lives are simply distractions. Satan tries to distract us from what we're supposed to be focusing on. And that's how God solves those distractions. God allows those distractions to be solved when we decide to focus on Him. That's where Matthew 6:33 comes from. Seek ye first the kingdom. I love breaking this scripture down, because when it talks about the kingdom, it's not talking about a place. It's talking about a way of doing things. We seek first God's ways of doing things. Not only seeking His ways of doing things, but we are aiming to do them in righteousness, on His way right. God comes back and says, I'm going to add all of these things to you. What things? 32nd verse, whatever the Gentiles seek after. Whatever it is, money, houses, peace, harmony, being in your right mind, all those things. Now, what Satan does is Satan likes to come in and bring distractions. Bring distractions that take our focus off of what God wants. And if He can get me to stop seeking God first, let me say it this way, it's better for me to say it this way. If Satan can get me to stop seeking God's ways of doing things first, then He just blocked all the adding to me. Are you saying this? So that means now, if I'm not seeking God's ways of doing things first, that means I don't have access to God's grace, access to His mercy. Remember now what mercy is. We talked about this in church. We talked about it. Mercy is the floor. God's mercy is the floor. In other words, that's the lowest you can ever go. It's God's mercy. When God let His mercy rain on you, even though we ain't done right, we ain't done what we're supposed to do, but when we hit God's mercy, that's the worst our situation can ever be. And then we can begin to rely on God's grace to empower us to get us off the floor. Does that make sense? So, when we throw ourselves all towards God, that means now God has a right to deal with our situation for us. Because remember now, we're working from the premises of Galatians 6 and 7. Now, this is one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. I repeat often in this class. It's one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible because God said, the Apostle Paul said this, God is not mocked. That's a strong statement. If God is not mocked, that means that something got kind of mocked. God is not mocked. So whatever a man says, that's in y'all for weak. So Matthew 6:33 is trying to get us to walk in that particular principle. So watch this now. According to Galatians 6 and 7, God is not mocked for whatever man says, that's in y'all for weak. According to Galatians 6 and 7, if I wrap Galatians 6 and 7 around Matthew 6:33, I need you to wrap that around. Wrap Galatians 6 and 7. Wrap that around Matthew 6:33. If I wrap the principle of whatever a man sows, God is not enough. God will be played with. He ain't going to change his mind. He ain't going to play with you. This is the principle that nobody can get around. That's what it means that God is not enough. Nobody's getting around this principle. For whatever a man sows, that's your three. So what if I begin to sow seeking Him first? What am I going to reap? God looking for me first. And you say, well, it's about 10 of us in the room, 0.5 of the room, and it's about 200 online that's watching. Wait a minute. How can I be first? if it's more than one? How can I be first if it's more than one of us? Well, God is infinite. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. So he's able to put everybody first at the same time. And you got to believe that. See, this means now I cannot let anything distract me from what God has called me to do. I can't let my personal issues. I'm going to say something. I can't let my personal demons. This is what grace is for. See, you got to realize that God is not looking for you to have a perfect lifestyle. He's looking for you to have a mature lifestyle. In other words, some Christians have things they deal with. Well, the way you get it dealt with is when you stop focusing on it. Go to John 15, 3. I'm about to make it clear for you. John 15, chapter. Watch this. See, if we stop dealing with sin and begin to deal with the nature of sin, better yet, begin to deal with our nature. If we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to deal with our nature, then anything that is residing in our nature will be dealt with. John 15, watch this. John, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? John 15 and 3. He said, now you are clean through the word which I have, past tense, spoken, past tense, unto you. You see that? That's about the verse 1, because it's making it plain. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. 15, John 15 and 1. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring more fruit. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So watch this. You said you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. Now. You are clean. He's not even dealing with something like that. He said, now, after what you did or what you have done, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. Now, watch this. In other words, past tense. If you're not spending time with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, now remember, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal things that you're not ready for. So when you spend time with the Holy Spirit, listen to me, when you spend time with the Holy Spirit, God begins to talk to you and begins to give you instructions. Now when you follow those instructions, you ain't got time to be in sin. See, I ain't got time to be taken off a date, not spending time with God. Because sin nature is still residing on the inside of me. And all it takes is, watch this. Either God is going to talk to you or Satan is going to talk to you. And depending on who talks to you more is the nature that goes on as well. Depending on who talks to you more. Because here's Jesus saying, now are you clean to the words I have spoken to you. John 53. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you. That's covenant now. That's covenant. Meaning that full of information. The words that I speak of you, those words are spirit and those words are life. Are you seeing this? So when I spend time with the Father, when I spend time with the Holy Spirit, when I spend time with Jesus, that means when he talks to me And he's given me encouragement. He's given me insight. And he's given me revelation. And I begin to walk on what he's telling me. That means I don't have time or room to sin. So if I want to deal with sin properly, I'm going to have to get closer to his voice. You're not going to be able to handle the distraction that will hold you back from covenant on your own. It's going to have to be you spending time with the Father and allowing him not only just to renew your mind, but to also give you instructions on what to do. Case in point, David took the morning off. David took the morning off. The same gentleman we read on the table, he took the morning off. He was supposed to be leading people, his men, in the war. But he took the morning off. He wouldn't follow those instructions for one day. And that's how he got in trouble. Rest easy. That sin nature is always there. Do you realize that's the storm that Paul is talking about? What God told him? Paul said, I need you to remove this thing from me. God said, no, my grace is sufficient. My grace is strong enough to deal with it. But that thorn is going to remain there because you will realize that you're going to have to keep coming to me. That's the problem Adam and Eve had. They wouldn't keep coming to God. They wanted to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and figure everything out on their own. So God said, okay, that's how you going to do. We're going to work this out. We're going to have the sin nature. You're going to let the sin nature in. Now, if you want to defeat this sin nature that's always going to be residing there, you're going to have to reside off of John 15:3. Now are you clean through the words I have spoken to you? So this is how people get sidetracked. Satan's greatest assignment is to get you sidetracked off of what, off the, get you sidetracked first of all from who you're supposed to be connected to. And then once he gets you disconnected, then he's trying to get you to a point to where you can't function properly. So that's why he comes over to you and says, listen, this is a panic thing. And the nagging things, you know, wife ain't acting right, husband ain't acting right, children don't, children tripping, the boss tripping on the job. They come up with a round of layoffs here, and they do this. These little distractions are to take your eyes, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Even though Peter was wrong for getting out the boat, yeah, Peter was wrong for getting out the boat. Some of y'all don't know. He was wrong. I know we preached about how much great faith Peter had to get out of the boat. He was wrong to get out of the boat because that ain't what Jesus told him to do. Jesus told him to get in the boat and go to the side. When Peter did get out the boat, why did he begin to sink? He took his eyes. He took his eyes off of Jesus. In other words, the wind and storm and the light and the thunder and the waves rolling, he began to look at those issues. He began to look at those situations and took his eyes off of Jesus, meaning, okay, now I'm out here, now I'm going to figure out how to handle this myself. And he wasn't empowered to handle it for himself. He needed Jesus. Same thing with us. That's why these little distractions come up. That's why these little issues come up. Attacks on our body. Attacks on our relationship. Trying to get us to take energy away from focusing on the kingdom and to focus on us. But the way God defeats that and he gives us the opportunity to defeat it is when we say, hey, God, there's nothing I can do about this. But I can do what you told me to do. I can seek your kingdom. And God begins to work all those things out. Are you seeing me? still, that's why most people, I don't think we're going to make it through the rest of those. Most people do not understand faith. Faith has nothing to do with you. Your faith has nothing to do with you. Your faith has everything to do with what God wants. So now out the window, I told you we're going to challenge you. We're going to be challenged here. Now it goes out the window. I need to change this phrase. I'm going to use my faith to get my house. Can my faith produce my house? Yes, it can. But I'm not going to take, but my focus on my house is not going to produce in my house. Because if that's the case, then that means a direct violation of Matthew 6 and 33. Are you seeing? Am I making myself clear? So if the Bible says it four times, Habakkuk 2 and 4, I think it's Romans 1 and 17, Ephesians 3 and 11, and Hebrews, I think, 10 and 36, I think it is. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2 and 4 says something different. It said the just shall live by his faith. Are you seeing this? So, in other words, if I'm living, that means I have to carry out the process of life by faith. So that means, watch this. If I'm to carry out the process of life by faith, or by my faith, that means it has to be something personal for me. And watch this. And faith is an action word, so it's got to be meaning something I have to do. So it cannot just be focused on, my faith cannot be just focused on what I want. Hebrews 11 chapter, first verse, says, and we can get there. So this is important in dealing with the connecting properly in covenant. Because my goal in this class is to get self out of the way as much as possible. And to get your desires and put them on the back burner and put God's desires on the front burner. That's my goal. That's my aim. Because when you do that, now God becomes responsible for the whole thing. Hebrews 11, chapter the first verse says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the stuff that makes up some future goals and future plans. That's what that statement really means. Now faith is the substance of things hoped, some plans. Are you seeing this? Now you go to the sixth verse, and it says that, but without faith, it's impossible to please. I like that. Use God. Him, God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those that what? He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So now, if my faith pleases God, that means in that first verse that them hope, that them dreams, them plans, them hopes, them future goals, and I talk about mine. Talk about his. But he did say in the sixth verse that my faith pleases him, right? And I must believe that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. Do you see how God designed his kingdom to work? He designed his kingdom to work for you to focus on his kingdom and he focused on you. This is what covenant is all about. God was so gracious and so wonderful and so infinite in his wisdom that he stopped himself from having any access to the earth realm without us. just so he can do for us what he's always wanted to do, which is simply love on us. So Satan's main objective, if even he used the teaching on faith to take our focus off the kingdom. You know, y'all look at me. Be real now. You know you use your faith to get power. You use your faith to get caught. You use your faith to get money. You use your faith to do this. And what you talk about is God has to confess enough on the side of your word and confess enough until it comes out. That's how we look at it. But that's not how things work. Right with the 12th chapter. Third verse. Romans 12. Paul says, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, or a part of faith, or a part of something, or a part of instruction. So here it is. If Satan can get me off of the piece, or the part, or my share of the instruction that God has been thinking towards me, I know the thoughts that are thinking towards me, thoughts of peace. Not of evil. If I can think, get me off of that, if he'll do whatever it takes to get me off of that, because if he get me off of that, then I can't reach my destiny. So Satan is real good at causing distractions. He's real good at causing distractions. He'll send people into your life. He'll send situations your way. To cause you, watch this in there, to cause you not to focus on what God has told you to do. See, these gentlemen that surrounded themselves around David, they had all sorts of distractions. Okay, let's go over the distractions again. They were in debt. They were distressed. And they were in discontentment. They were not content. The family is in disarray because Paul is after them, they're in debt, they're distressed, they don't know what they're going to do next. All those distractions, and yet, they did not let it take their focus off of committing to the agenda that David had. And so you begin to see these guys, I think it's in 2 Chronicles, when David says, it's time for us to build the house of the Lord, those same gentlemen now are in another whole position because they would not be distracted. They would not let anything, any of those issues take them. One of the main issues that we find in the church is that when a woman of God connects to an agenda, to a visionary, this is the easiest one. The thing does this. I think they do this more often than not. They connect. Satan will send a man into their life. They want to get married. That's what they ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Satan will send somebody into their life and say, hey, you're supposed to follow me. Let's go. And take them exactly from where God had designed and destined for them to be. Are you seeing this? See, Satan plays on it. He's a deceiver. He wants to do that so he can get us out of. Not having the men too, they come and let somebody take them away. I don't really like this church. Well, if you don't like church, you don't like me. If you don't like my man or woman of God, then you don't like me. Are you seeing this? Philippians. The second chapter. Verse verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the truth of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. As Paul talking about, I think it's Timothy he's talking about. He's talking about Timothy. See, one time even Paul made a statement about Timothy. He said, I'm sending Timothy because I don't know anybody else that's going to treat you like I would. Now, how could Paul think like that? It's because Timothy didn't let anything distract him from being connected to whom God had connected him to. Many who come to John are still licking the wounds of the past and not free in themselves to become available to stand alongside us to finish the assignment. I see that so often too. People leave church splits or they leave situations where they're going through divorce, they're going through some, and they're so busy, let me say this way. They're so busy feeling sorry for themselves that Satan is using that to distract them from focusing on the kingdom. Watch this. They're not there to give a strong support when opportunities and challenges present themselves. See, that's important. See, the reason why those guys connected to David is because they were helping David fulfill an agenda that God had designed. So now, here it is, he's getting ready to go to battle. One of the guys come up and say, man, I can't go. Why you can't go day to day? Man, I ain't had no money for no bullets. Man, I can't go. My wife's come down too much. I can't go because my husband's sick. Are you seeing this? See, remember now, if God is the center, everything around will be harmonious. So if God is the center of my life first, that means God ain't going to allow nobody in my life that they pull me off of what he assigned me to do. So it's very easy to discern people. It's very easy to discern people. Thank you. Very easy to discern people. If this person comes into my life and try to take me off of what God has called me to do and disconnect me from, who's going further? God or the person going further? So if this person shows up in my life, not just husband and wife, not boyfriend and girlfriend, but friendship. They come into my life and they try to get me to disconnect from what God has saved me, I ain't gonna care about them. I ain't care about them. I ain't got to care about them at all. They are a distraction. Sent by Satan. And it might be the most annoying person you know. Are you saying this? They are not in full sense or capacity to throw in their weight to push back the enemy. Why? Because their focus is not there. They ain't been spending enough time in prayer. Why? Because they're too busy worrying about their own situation. Many wonderful opportunities are lost when they withdraw from these challenges into their chains. They fail to understand that when we choose covenant, we choose to keep ourselves in the fullness of strength to push for the highest level of performance. That means you're going to have some self-motivation. Nobody, listen to me. Nobody should have to keep coming to y'all and asking y'all, did y'all spend time with God today? Nobody should have to come in and ask you about that. Nobody should keep asking you, did you pray today? If I didn't have to keep challenging those that ain't covenant, did y'all spend time with God? Any time is me. Are you seeing that? This is the reason for covenant and the impact of people cooperation. Without us sinning, without us operating full capacity, we're not going to finish, we're going to finish chapter 8 when we come back after the holidays. Without us operating full capacity, everybody's going to have to pull their weight. Which means any distractions that come up, I'm going to have to make up my mind that this distraction, I'm going to deal with it. But it's not going to let me, it's not going to pull me off of what God is connecting me to, or who God is connecting me to, and what God is assigning me to do. Are you seeing me? See, listen, Satan is he is a master at death. Rich young ruler. He had a distraction. Jesus was actually asking him, listen, you hungry, I see that. Come, you know, He told him, sell what you have. Give it to the poor. He said, give all his money away. He told him, sell what you have. In other words, you can't have this stuff, all this stuff back at home and be distracted. So just sell it, get rid of it, and take up your cross. Follow me. That little young ruler went away sad at that time. Wow. He was distracted. And Satan distracted him so he could not reach the destiny that God had designed for him. Are you seeing this? You can't let anything distract you. You can't let anything distract you. The reason why Satan wanted to be distracted, thank you. The reason why Satan wants you to be distracted is because he's trying to get you, he's trying to get you to unwrap Galatians 6 and 7 from around Matthew 6:33. He's trying to get you to unwrap it and don't connect it. Don't put it together. So he gets you not focusing on the kingdom. So if I'm not focusing on the kingdom, God can't add. And so if I'm not focusing on the kingdom first, that means I can only reach me not being focused on first, which means Satan now has the opportunity to add more distraction. Does that make sense? Next, when we come back after the holidays, we'll finish chapter 8 and 9. So the exams, listen again, keep rolling from Ms. Robin. So make sure the exams are on chapter 7, 8, and 9. Our final exam. Now remember now, we got class tomorrow, and we're off to after the new year. All right, and I think it's the 7th, I think we come back. We actually have our first class back. I'm not sure I'll hold it to my email and let you know. But remember now, when we come back off the holidays, that's when our exams start that particular Monday. Now, it's the 6th. It's the 6th. It's the 6th. So our exams will start on the 6th. All right, and be open from the 6th to the 13th. All right, so we won't have to come to class then. So the next class you come to will be the, what, 20th. All right, so that's a good break, right? That's a good break, right? A much needed and deserved break. All right? So, it'll be on our class, on Lives of Our Men, be chapters 7, 8, and 9, open book. I say it's very easy. All you got to do is read. All right? So, some of y'all I will not see until the new year. Y'all have a wonderful holiday, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. Y'all have a great night.